This podcast may contain adult language and adult themes. On the other hand, it may not. Sort of a podcast lucky dip. Welcome to the Happy Oxygen Podcast. My name is Simon Nichols, and I am a dog walker. A dog walk for me is just over 25 minutes. I needed a podcast that was perfect for dog walks or anything else you do in 26 minutes. This is it. The Happy Oxygen Podcast is here to make you smile, laugh, or feel a bit happier about yourself. Each episode will feature a special guest who will be asked why laughter and happiness has helped them on their journey through life and how that drives their positivity. This week, my guest is Sam Bradford. Sam is a chartered financial planner. She runs her own practice called Simplicity Financial Planning. She lives in a 400-year-old cottage in Milton Keynes, and she loves gypsy tarts.
I do. Thank you, Simon.
Welcome. Welcome to the Happy Oxygen Podcast.
Thank you for
it's
having
our
me.
Our pleasure. So we are, although we normally, especially when I get to chat with my friends like this, we normally go through a little bit of preamble, but I'm going to just go straight in, straight for the jugular, because actually I want to know how you're feeling today, but I don't want to know it in a normal way. How are you feeling today, but you have to describe it as an internal weather system?
Oh, an internal weather system. Now, funny enough, I did want to be a weather girl once upon a time when I was a teenager. However, I think if I'm thinking of seasons, and it's no coincidence that we're going into spring, I feel quite spring-like. I feel like there's little shoots and buds coming up in my life that's so exciting. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how they'll develop. So yeah, I'd say spring, a little bit, that lovely smell in the air, and yeah, just feeling really good.
Brilliant. So buds of inspiration coming out there. I can't leave the weather girl comment hanging, by the way. What stopped you becoming a weather girl?
Well, interestingly, it was the chap at local TV studios put me off. When I went to work, shadow him. And yes, it was a little bit of an insight. He was a bit of a housewife's choice, but he did like 16-year-olds as well. And I decided that it wasn't the place for me.
Wow. I do apologize for opening up that proverbial can of worms, but oh my goodness, it's...
That's quite all right. No, it was amusing. There were two elements, though, in all seriousness. My very wonderful physics teacher, who I absolutely adored, she knew I was really interested in meteorology and I was going to study meteorology at university. And she was careers as well. So she used to put us in touch with the most amazing places to do careers work experience. And she devised my week into two. Half the week I was spent at a research station with a bona fide meteorologist, and then the other half was with the local weatherman, literally the weatherman who would present on the TV. It was a bit of a starstruck moment for me. The first half of the week I'm there at the research station and I'm literally following a chap around with a clipboard and looking at instruments in a field. It was as dull as dishwater, and he had no personality, and I just realized that aspect of it was not for me. So that half was quite uninteresting, but the second half got a little bit more spicier when I turn up and find out that this chap doesn't really do an awful lot all day. He just gets all of his information sent through from the Met Office and then just reads a script. And yes, he had other things to talk about rather than what I was there to learn. And he sent me down to the graphics department in the end, and that was much more exciting. They were actually young 20-something-year-olds and they had a guitar in the corner. And at the time, I used to play my guitar all the time. So I spent the rest of the day just sitting there watching them put graphics together that they would put on the screen and play my guitar with these guys in the graphics team. It's fantastic fun.
I am gobsmacked. I genuinely am, because I thought we were going to go down a path, but we're clearly not. And this is why I love about this train of thought. So number one, I do know you as a friend, and I didn't know you played the guitar. So not that I'm going to sort of embarrass you and now ask you to go and get the guitar, but do you still play the guitar?
Oh yes. Yeah. I've been playing since I was 9 years old officially. I had a guitar from the age of six, but I started teaching myself chords from the age of nine. So it was one of those lovely things, and still is, very acoustic, very easy to transport and take to different places. I'm an outdoors person, as you know, Simon. So I've been a scout when I was 16, adventure scout. And then in my adulthood, I've been a scout leader now for the last 17 years. And it's just one of those beautiful instruments that I take to camp, sit around a campfire and just play. And it's just amazing. It's magical. And I've extended my musical instruments to an accordion on my 40th birthday. It was always the one instrument I felt was just missing in my life because it had everything going for it. You could play all of the sounds, the chords and the melody line all together. And so my husband very kindly bought me an accordion, and that is just so much fun. So yes, I'm often found sat outside my tent or around a campfire, either strumming a guitar or having a squeeze on the old squeeze box. So it's all good fun.
I want to go now camping. I want to go camping with you. I want there to be a fire and I want an accordion. And we have a thing that will be a feature on here, which I think we have to invite guests back who can play musical instruments to record just some fun stuff for the Happy Oxygen podcast. So you may get a callback. It's you will. Incredible. So apart from music, and actually I'm gonna zoom forward a little bit actually on my thought process, because you mentioned your physics teacher. And it sounds as though that individual was hugely influential. Was that the pivot point for you, or do you have other influences in your life or other influencers that you think have drawn you to where you are today?
Yes, I'd definitely say that teachers generally have been my influences. And it's no coincidence that I found a career where I'm an educator and I absolutely adore educating people. And I fell into working inside of a bank because I wanted to actually earn a bit more money in between traveling abroad and working abroad. So one of the things I didn't end up doing, just to finish the story about meteorology, was go to uni. And I wish I had, but, you know, life was different back then. And I ended up going to become a holiday rep in Mallorca at the tender age of 18. And loved it so much, as you can imagine, I came back for the winter and decided, oh, going to get a bit more money. I'm going to go back again the following year. And I had a 4-month contract with the bank and unfortunately got a taste of more money and didn't actually leave. So hence why I still work within financial services. But actually, education has been a huge driver for me learning. So I've got my degree now as a chartered planner and also educating clients in what can be perceived to be really complicated things. They're not. We just make it more complicated than it needs to be, in my opinion. Actually, it's just about having a chat with someone, drawing a few diagrams to help bring things to life, and you've got the concept passed over to that person. And my teachers and my physics teacher in particular, and I do love math, so again, probably no coincidence that I'm doing something financial. My physics teacher would have an amazing way of explaining complex things. And she'd use an overhead projector. Do you remember the days of overhead projectors? And she'd use an acetate and a pen. And it used to just love it. We'd just sit in tiered seating. It was the only room in our school, the only classroom that actually had what looked like lecture theatre style seating. And I felt so important when I went in there. And I'd sit and she would project up what she was teaching us. So rather than an old-fashioned blackboard like every other classroom had, we had this overhead projector and she would then be putting up all the formulas, etc. But she would make it fun because you'd actually end up doing a lot of the work as well. So there was a lot of physical and the practical stuff, that's the word I'm thinking of. So not just the theory behind it, but the practical work. And I think that was the combination that I really enjoyed. And perhaps that's subconsciously how I how I educate my own clients thinking about it. But yeah, I hadn't thought about that before. Thank you for that.
No problem. Acetate and overhead projectors, that needs to make a comeback. We could be on the beginning of something here now. I think the next webinar that you do, Sam, I think you need, I don't know how you're going to get it, but find...
How would you get one these days? I wouldn't know where to go to get one. That's amazing.
I am going to have a look on the Tinterweb to find out if you can still buy overhead projectors.
I think they are fantastic pieces of kit. You're absolutely right. It'd be great for the scout group. I might need one too.
There we go. Let's try and find the overhead projector. Another revelation as well. It's. I'm feeling, Sam, that there is drop the mic moments all around here. And I obviously feel I need to get to know you much better as a mate because the holiday rep, because my next question was going to be, what do you do that's fun? What do you do to find fun? And I'm guessing that with your guitaring and your holiday repping, you might find fun in unusual places.
Oh, I love comedy. I love finding fun in things that are the ordinary, but you can take out of context and find funny. I'm trying to think of an example, but you know, people make me laugh generally, you know, that and that's why I guess situation comedies are really funny, because we're all different. And I just find fun in being able to laugh at yourself, not taking yourself too seriously. And yeah, I don't know what else I find fun, how I find fun. I just find fun in things, because you're in control, aren't you, of how you respond to things. And it's all about your approach to a situation. So I guess I try to spin things around to be fun so that others pick up on that.
It's a wonderful trait as well, that ability to make others laugh. You mentioned situation comedy there. I've got my opinions on situation comedy, which, like yourself, I love. If you were to pick your favourite scene, or even your favourite set of scenes from your favourite situation comedy that makes you laugh, where would you go with that?
Oh, there are so many different ones out there. If you were a fly on the wall in my house, everything I do or everything I say tends to have something that's been said somewhere in a situation comedy somewhere. And I'm very eclectic. I have a whole range of comedy that I love. And I'll give you an example. So I walked in earlier to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee. My husband was in there, and I happened to mention that I was just having a little bit of a situation with my brochure, to which he immediately turns around and says, "Oh no, not the brochures." And you just think, oh my goodness. You know, and so everything we talk about has something that's been said somewhere about a situation. So obviously that was Hyacinth Bouquet, and I'm sure you knew that, Richard. But there's so many other things. I love alternatives. So for me, my heroes, absolute heroes, were Rick Mayall and Aid Edmondson. And in fact, they were the people that I chose to paint when I got taught how to paint during lockdown. And so this one's the bottom picture that I'm showing you. I know that listeners can't hear this or see this, but it was started with the young ones and then transferred into bottom, and then all the other types of alternative comedies that come out. And it's always been the duos I've loved, I think. So the Vic Reeves, the Bob Mortimer, I still love those even today. And obviously they're inspired from Morecambe and Wise. But we grew up in the 70s with so many wonderful comic duos. And I'm very fortunate. My dad was a huge comedy fan. So we were never far away from a TV set that had someone on it that was making us laugh. And so that just developed my rich sense of humor. And so now I do sometimes get frowned on by other members of the family when if something's said, we will just go into a repertoire of something that's been said on a comedy program somewhere. So yeah, we sort of have our own, my husband and I have our own little language occasionally. That's a long answer, by the way, to your question, Simon. I have just realized
it's
that.
A brilliant answer. And if I may say, Western Supermare. Western Supermare, Richie.
Supermare. He's always
Supermare.
Superman.
What I'll also say to you as well, just to see if I can make you laugh even more, is it's the gas man! The gas man!
He was detained and he then went on to do his favourite hobby of bus surfing. And you just think, wow. So whenever we have the phone ring, we'll just all try and ring someone. We're forever doing things like, I don't know whether you remember this one, you bang the table and you're saying, hello, shotgun bastard and Gribble. Oh, that's rather fortuitous. And I, you know, they don't make these many scenes or episodes, but they just, for me, the same ones do tend to come round a lot. Yes.
For our podcast listeners, effectively what Sam and I have just done is gone down a bottom. You were hearing quotes from the wonderful Rick Mayall and Adrian Edmondson, sadly departed in terms of Rick Mayall, but yeah, I love the bottom as well. Sam, thank you so much for that answer. That was awesome. And it's lovely to hear you laugh as well. We're going to go into a question now, which we ask everybody every week. Some questions don't get asked, but this one will get asked every week, which is, what would you put into the Thrive virtual happy jar?
Oh, I think I'd like to put into my virtual happy jar my accordion.
Ooh.
Because it not only makes me happy when I attempt to play it, it makes my dog very happy. My dog is called Greg. And Greg loves it because it makes him happy. He sings to it. And also my family make them laugh when I play it because I'm forever stopping and starting and hang on, I've got it. Hang on, I'll start again. Hang on, I've got it. I'll just get it in a minute. I'll get it next time. And they just, I don't know whether they're laughing at me or with me, not quite sure. But anyway, I think the accordion would go in.
That is lovely. And I love it when people call their pets and especially dogs proper names.
Yes, Greg has a name, and there is a reason that we loved Greg as a name for our boy dog, because we're both very big fans of, as I've said already, of Reeves and Mortimer. And if you remember back in the day when it was one of the Friday night, big night in, they had a puppet dog called Greg Mitchell.
Yes.
And it was a sandy coloured Labrador, and he'd come on. And he would be very well spoken and he'd say, hello, I've just been to Amsterdam to buy some tulips for my wife. And I've bought thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Oh, no, my wife's going to kill me. And he'd go from this really posh dog sound to, or this posh voice, to a guttural London accent. And it used to make us laugh every time. And we said, if we ever get a dog and he's a boy, we're going to call him Greg. And that's what we've always stuck to. So when we chose our Greg, he was a Greg.
We are going to have to do a whole separate podcast theme on the stories behind the stories that we hear on the podcast. So that was an epic story. At the beginning of your intro, I introduced you the fact that you live in a 400-year-old cottage in Milton Keynes, which some people might think a bit strange because Milton Keynes celebrated its recent 60-year anniversary. But we know, having lived in Milton Keynes, that actual fact it's made up of a load of smaller villages. My next question is, and you're probably going to say yes, but do you love where you live or would you like to live somewhere else?
Well, I do love where I live. Very quick answer to that question. And I love it for the fact that it's just non-conformist. I've been living before this in a 70s house, actually, in Milton Keynes. Again, one of the very first houses that were built in Milton Keynes by the Development Corporation. But prior to that was a more standard, traditional new build house in Milton Keynes. But one of the things that I've always had on my list of things I needed to do in life would be to own and look after an old period property. And when the opportunity came up within the same, almost the same village, it was a no-brainer. And yes, here we are a year and a bit later, and noticing things falling down that we know we are going to need to fix. And we plan to, so we want to work with our conservation area here in Milton Keynes to make sure that we look after it, because over the last 50 years, sadly, there's been lots of concrete used and it shouldn't have been. And that's what's lumps of it are falling off right now. And we need to bring back the beams so that they are a natural colour because they've been painted, and all the things that unfortunately shouldn't have been done, but they didn't know at the time. They thought it was doing the right thing. So we've got lots of plans and lots of things to do. But where would I live other than our beautiful cottage? Well, I don't have a specific location, because I absolutely find beauty everywhere, in whether it's sort of marshland to mountains of the Lake District or Scotland. So to prove that point, we actually did get ourselves a camper van last year, which we've taken precisely nowhere, and it sat on our drive. And had it not been for the weather being cold, we would have actually slept in it on our drive, but we've not yet done that. And that's the next step. We will do that. So the plan is that that the business as well will go on the road, because I can now see that it doesn't really matter where you are in the country or the world. And I say only the country because we love the dogs. We take the dogs with us wherever we go. So the plan is that I will be able to actually do my work and travel a bit. So get to see a bit more of the UK that I haven't yet seen. And so there's no answer to a specific location. I just like exploring. I guess that's the scout in me, isn't it?
It is. And it's interesting because the parallels that we have in our lives, because that's the camper van dream is certainly one that me and Kelly are looking to adopt at some point in the future, with that ability to take our businesses on the road. And I can't wait as well. But we haven't actually got we haven't got to the point of buying the camper van yet.
Well, there's no point. You can't exactly. Go anywhere. We can always do a convoy.
Absolutely. I'm going to take you back now, if that's okay, because you mentioned you brought up school days quite a lot and the influences that you had back then. If you were to go back now, go into the toilets of your old school, and you were to write something on the back of the toilet door that only your 15-year-old self would see, what would you write?
If I was actually going to write a piece of advice so that my 15-year-old self could see it, I was very resilient then anyway. But I think perhaps I would have just said to myself, I was going to say live each day, but I do that anyway. Just not worry about some of the things that you think you need to worry about. Perhaps I would learn to tell myself that it's okay to say no to things from time to time, that you're not going to miss out on something. So yes, that is perhaps a really wise piece of advice that I'm really only learning now as a business owner. I can't do everything, and actually laser focus is important, and doing just one thing is really important, not 10 things badly.
Well, thank you so much for saying yes to coming on this podcast. You've been an absolutely awesome guest. And I would like to leave you with the last question now. And it's the last question that we ask in the Happy Oxygen stable. And for those of you listening out there that are aware of the awesome character of Bod. Back in the day, if you don't know Bod, just Google it or use any other search engine of your choice. At the end of Bod came Alberto, Alberto the Frog. And Alberto the Frog, every week, would choose his most favourite milkshake. Sam Bradford, what is your favourite milkshake and why?
Okay, so my favourite milkshake, it has to be the Mighty Strawberry. And why is a good question? Perhaps because it reminds me, and the taste of a strawberry reminds me of those wonderful days when you were a child and picking strawberries and eating far more than when in the basket and feeling very sick when you got home and had strawberries for dessert. But I still love a strawberry, and I plan to grow a few more strawberries in our garden this year so that I can have some fresh strawberries.
Strawberry milkshake, virtual happy jars. Sam Bradford, Simplicity Financial Planning, thank you so much for being on the Happy Oxygen podcast, and thank you for talking to me today.
Complete pleasure. Thank you, Simon.